This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Okay, so here's what I need you to understand about the Mickey Steins case before we really go super deep into it. Minutes before he walked into Judge Kevin Mullen's chamber and pulled that trigger, he FaceTimed his aunt and asked to speak to Mommy Bones. Is Mommy Bones there? Hey, is Mommy Bones around? That's an interesting. It's a nickname that they had. That was what they called his grandmother, Mommy Bones. Her name was Mommy Bones to him, and she'd the problem with this whole thing is she'd been dead for 2.5 years, and Steins was in the room when they disconnected her ventilator. He helped make that decision. He watched it happen. And on the morning of September 19th, 2024, he called his aunt and asked for her like she was sitting in the next room. That detail came out in open court on June 5th, 2026, during a bail hearing in Leslie County, Kentucky. It was one of several details about what was happening inside Mickey Stein's head in the days before he killed a judge in his own courthouse. And what came out of that courtroom is harder to dismiss than you think. Your thoughts in the comment section, Substack, YouTube. Links are in the description. Love for you to weigh in. This is the case of Mickey Steins, and the question at the center of it is the one that nobody's been able to answer since September 24. Was the man who pulled the trigger actually in there when it happened? Was he mentally present Or are we? Is this an example of one of those rare cases where there is something mentally, medically happening that can't really be explained? Mental breakdown of some way, shape, or form going on here. Let me reground this for anyone who's coming in cold. Sean Mickey Steins was the elected sheriff of Lector County, Kentucky. It's a small Appalachian community. He'd worked in and around that courthouse for more than 20 years. Kevin Mullins was the district judge for the 47th Judicial District. He'd been on the bench since 2009. These two men, they knew each other. They were part of the same small town ecosystem where the sheriff and the judge see each other constantly. They were friends, social gatherings. On the day of the shooting, September 19th of 2024, they had lunch together. Hours later, Steins walked into Mullins' chambers, closed the door, and shot him 9 times. 7 of those shots were reportedly fired while Mullins was on the ground. Surveillance video captured the entire thing. Steins surrendered right there at the scene. He was charged with first-degree murder and murder of a public official. He's pled not guilty. This has never been a question of who did it. The video exists. The defense has acknowledged the body is his. The question is, what was happening in the mind before the body, or the mind behind the body? And to understand that question, you have to understand what was building in the days and the weeks before. The backdrop is a federal civil lawsuit that had been hovering over the Lector County Courthouse for years. That lawsuit alleged that one of Steins' deputies, a man named Ben Fields, had committed repeated felony crimes against a woman inside Judge Mullins' chambers. And according to the lawsuit, Fields used those chambers specifically because there was no cameras. Fields pled guilty to multiple felony charges in January 24. Judge Mullins was never charged with any crime connected to those allegations, but rumors circulated anyway. And the lawsuit named Steins as a defendant, alleging he failed to adequately train and supervise his deputy. 3 days before the shooting on September 16th, Steins sat for a nearly four-hour deposition in that lawsuit. He was questioned about what he knew, what his deputy did, and what happened inside that courthouse. And by all accounts, he fell apart during it. Attorneys present reportedly said he took 10 breaks. He told people in the room he was having an episode. This wasn't family watching him pace at 2 in the morning. This was a room full of attorneys with professional judgment watching a sitting sheriff deteriorate in real time during an official legal proceeding. And the deposition, it kept going. Attorney Daniel Dotson later told Kentucky State Police that in that period, Steins was losing it. He described what he observed as paranoid schizophrenia. A sheriff's office staffer told KSP separately, "I think his anxiety was completely off the charts. I do feel like he was in a psychosis." And per defense filing, Steins had reportedly lost 40 pounds in 2 weeks. He wasn't sleeping. He told a staffer that someone demanded he end his own life or they would harm his wife and his daughter. This is what he's believing in his mind, allegedly. He'd made someone help put a bulletproof vest on his wife. 3 days after that deposition, the judge named in the lawsuit was dead. And we're going to come back to who saw what and who did nothing about it, because the wrongful death lawsuit filed by Mullins' widow names 3 of Steins' own deputies and says they watched her boss spiral and never warned the man he was about to kill. But first, the night before. The testimony that landed hardest at the June 5th hearing came from Sherry Steins, Mickey's aunt. She'd known him since birth. His grandparents raised him. She called him Bubby. In the evening of September 18th, the night before the shooting, Bubby showed up at her house with a bag. Inside it were tuna pouches, melatonin gummies, and over-the-counter Benadryl. He hadn't slept in days. His doctor had recommended the melatonin and Benadryl. He took 3 or 4 of each that night. Apparently, they did nothing. He was supposed to sleep in the spare bedroom. He lay down, came back out minutes later, carrying a pillow, sat in the living room, stared at his phone all night. He was watching the security cameras at his own house. He was terrified someone was going to come for his wife, Layla, and his daughter, Caroline. At one point, he saw a man's legs walking down the alley behind his house on the camera feed. Just legs, someone walking. That was enough to freak him out. He tried to get his aunt to drive him to go check on the property and leave a teenager alone in the house asleep in the dark. Jerry told the court that anyone who knows Mickey knows he would never suggest something like that under normal circumstances. He was fidgety, pacing from door to door. He barely ate. He wouldn't stop watching the cameras. His aunt sleeps with supplemental oxygen, and she was up in her recliner the entire night with him because he wouldn't settle. She said he'd come to her house so his wife and daughter could get some rest because he'd been keeping them up too, pacing, cleaning the floors in the middle of the night, unable to hold still. When the defense attorney asked Sherry to describe Mickey's behavior in one word, she said, psychotic. When asked if any of this was consistent with how he normally acted, she said, no, never seen Mickey act like that. She described the Mickey she'd always known as a jokester, hyperactive, sure, but in a helpful way. He'd see someone needed help and just do it. What she saw that night was a different person. If everyone around Mickey Steins could see he was falling apart, his staff, his family, the attorneys in that deposition room, what did the medical system actually do when they got their shot? Because they did get a shot, and it's maybe the most important missed signal in this entire case. The day before the shooting, September 18th, Steins had an appointment with his family doctor. He didn't go alone. According to his medical record cited in defense filings, his friends brought him. Staff members who were concerned about his level of stress and his inability to sleep accompanied him, and they went into the examination room with him. I mean, think about that for a second. This is a sitting sheriff, a public official, the top law enforcement officer in the county, and his people are so worried. They're sitting in on his doctor's appointment because they're afraid of what happens if they leave him by himself. The doctor notes, per defense filings, the patient is very subdued but denied any depression, anxiety, psychosis, suicidal, or homicidal thoughts. Because he denied all of that, doctor couldn't do anything. And that's a problem. I'm not blaming the doctor, but that is a problem. When you have the whole world saying, hey, problem over here, but it takes the patient, the one who's least likely to admit there is a problem, to admit there's a problem, to get the required help, that is a broken system. The diagnosis was acute stress reaction. The treatment was melatonin and Benadryl, and he was in them. The defense has argued that's a system failure. Eastern Kentucky is a healthcare desert. A family doctor in a rural Appalachian community may not have been equipped to identify what was happening, and he probably wasn't. This is something for a psychologist, not general care practitioner. But again, a lot of people, this is a problem in our country. A lot of people have their medications administered, prescribed by people who are not psychiatrists, general care, or don't have them prescribed, or treatments prescribed. Because you can't be a doctor of everything. General care is kind of a doctor of everything, and it's a good thing we have them. We need them. That's a very important job. But when it comes to specialized care like mental health, you need to go to the expert in that. You know, it's the same difference of, you can buy a birthday cake from the gas station down the road. They have a couple sitting over there by the donuts. Or you can go to a bakery, a place that specializes in baking cakes, and you're going to get a very different experience and a very different cake. The same with mental health treatment or any specialized treatment for that matter. You can go to the catch-all of everything, The catch-all of everything is more so designed to point you to the next direction that you should go, which is probably what should have happened here. But I'm not, this isn't about criticizing the doctor, so I'm going down the rabbit hole here, and I apologize, but I'm not trying to pile on the doctor. Although, again, you only know what you know. You only know what you know. The stigma around mental health in that part of the country makes it nearly impossible for a man like Steins to be fully transparent in a 15-minute appointment with staff sitting right there. The defense attorney, Carrie Bartley, put it plainly at the hearing. As a public official, especially in a place like Eastern Kentucky, it would be difficult for anyone to be completely open about what was going on with them. It's a culture problem. And all that may be true, but it doesn't change the outcome. The one medical professional who got a face-to-face chance to intervene treated it as a sleep problem, and the judge was dead the next afternoon. The prosecution can use the same visit from the opposite direction. If the doctor who examined Steins in person didn't believe he was in danger, maybe he wasn't as far gone as the defense wants the jury to believe. Former state attorney Dave Ehrenberg made that point directly. The doctor visit helps the defense by showing Steins sought help, but it also helps the prosecution by showing that a trained medical professional saw him and sent him home. That's a double-edged sword the defense will be dealing with all the way to trial. I guess medical professional is what will be thoroughly questioned, and that doctor is going to be in for a credential questioning nightmare on the stand, because that defense is going to do everything they can to go, what the hell is wrong with you? Why did you suggest melatonin and Benadryl when you literally have this guy's staff showing up going, there's something seriously wrong here? I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I don't think putting me in the state of Kentucky suddenly makes me a bumbling dumbass either. And I'm sorry to prescribe melatonin and some Benadryl. Your staff is here very concerned at your appointment, which doesn't happen. I'm saying, yeah, maybe not the best medical care going on here. Maybe there's room for improvement that we don't just write off because of the location of the country that it's in. Now, what happened after the shooting does tell its own story, too. There's body cam footage from immediately after Steins was taken into custody, and it's some of the most unsettling material in the case because it doesn't show you what you'd expect. Steins isn't calm. He isn't defiant. He isn't acting like a man who just carried out a plan. He's fixated, completely fixated on whether the cameras are running. He's asking officers, is that one recording? That one's recording? Plane has a backup recorder running. He's insisting the more body cameras, or he's insisting on more body cameras. He's demanding the blood on him be documented. Officers are trying to move him, and he's resisting, saying he can't talk in the hallway because there are people around. They ask him, is there somebody that you trust other than us and the sheriff? The man who ran the county? Can't name a single person. Officers who'd known him their entire lives are telling him, Mickey, we've known you forever. I'm not going to let anything happen. And he still can't settle. He wants to know where the cameras are. He wants to know who else is in the building. He wants to know if he's being moved. 4 days later, a licensed clinical social worker evaluated Stein to the Leslie County Jail. He'd been transferred there because of his close connections to staff at the Lector County facility. He'd literally run that jail. Her findings, per court documents, Steins was still in an active state of psychosis. He was unaware of his surroundings. He had no recollection of his recent past. He didn't appear to understand the charges against him. The social worker noted episodes of combativeness that required pepper spray. He was placed on risperidone, an antipsychotic medication. The man who'd worked in and around jails for more than two decades could not recognize a jail cell. In his answer to the wrongful death lawsuit filed by Mullins' widow, Steins admitted through his attorney that he shot Mullins. but they wrote that he was exhibiting paranoid and psychotic conduct and lacked the capacity to intend what he did. The wrongful death suit needs its own minute because it widens the lens of this case beyond just Steins and Mullins. Kimberly Mullins filed it on behalf of herself and her two daughters. She named Steins, obviously, but she also named three of his deputies, Jason Eccles, LaShonda Frazier, and Christine Balling. The lawsuit alleges they were aware of Steins' concerning and dangerous behavior before the shooting and had a legal duty to warn Judge Mullins and to control Steins because of their role providing courthouse security. They didn't. Defense Attorney Jeremy Bartley acknowledged it at the hearing. The Mullins estate's own filing alleges that everyone basically knew something was going on, but no one did something. And Bartley added, but they did do something. What else do you do other than demand he go see a physician? And they went there with him. I get the anger from Steins' widow, or Steins' wife, rather. But I'm sorry, these people did everything they really could do. They went, I mean, honest to God, again, like, what are you going to do? Cuff him? Put him in a jail cell? I mean, you can't do those sort of things. There's civil rights. They would be in the wrong. And nobody is equipped to deal with something like this. These aren't medical professionals. These aren't mental health professionals. They literally went to his doctor's appointment with him. The doctor's the one that failed them here. Have some melatonin and Benadryl. He's saying psychotic shit. Little Benadryl will do you. That's the vine. They saw it. They tried to help in the ways they knew how, and it wasn't enough. They didn't just go, it's another Tuesday. He's acting wacky. But here's where it gets complicated, and this is the part the prosecution is going to drive a truck through at trial. Mickey Steins didn't shoot Kevin Mullins in the hallway. He didn't shoot him in the courtroom. He didn't shoot him in a place where people could see it happen. This is going to be the angle they're going to take. According to the surveillance footage, Steins walked into Mullins' chambers. Other courthouse employees were in the room when he arrived. He waited for them to leave. Then he closed the door, and then he fired. They're going to say that's premeditation, that there's some knowledge or understanding of what he's doing at that moment in time. If he didn't know what he was doing, why did he make sure no one was watching? Well, you know what? When you're psychotic, you can make decisions. You're not just sitting there catatonic, staring at a wall. It doesn't mean those decisions make any sense. But you're making, your brain is doing deductive reasoning, and it may be like, wait till people are out of the room, then shoot. The force behind it is the question. It's not the surface making, put one foot in front of the next and move forward. You could argue that too. He didn't know what he was doing. How did he know how to walk? Huh? Gotcha. No, that's not how that works. And unless the law in Kentucky on being not mentally sound is literally in a catatonic state, which some states, that is the rule. That's literally, that's the bar. If you're not in a catatonic state, then you're fully with it in many places. That is how the law works. I don't believe that's how it works in Kentucky. But again, it's how people process the information. The question is the prosecution's backbone, because the legal standard for insanity in Kentucky requires showing that the defendant didn't know the difference between right and wrong at the time. Clearing a room, closing the door, and making sure there was no witnesses, those are the actions that will be argued of someone who understands that what he's about to do is something other people shouldn't see. That's cognition. That's awareness. And it happened hours after the two men shared a meal together. Well, again, if you're in a psychotic state, people go in and out of it. There's a lot of ways it's going to be argued. There's not a clear, well, because you closed the door, that shows us, does it? Or does it show that he just wanted to talk in private and then something else triggered his mind to shoot him? Did he have the intent to do that before he closed the door? I think you could argue maybe he did, maybe he didn't. It's not like the door closed and he draws the weapon immediately. They have an interaction with a cell phone. Something happens in that conversation, then the weapon is drawn. I think if you were trying to make that argument of, well, he was waiting for people to leave, you'd be drawing the weapon immediately as the door's closing. That did not happen. And look, he did this. There needs to be consequences for actions, but we also have to understand mental breakdowns. And this man was demonstrating them clear as day. 4 days leading up to this, even longer. And nobody around him seemed to have any sort of path to get him the help he needed, including the damn doctors. That says more about our society and not being able to identify true mental health problems, major mental health problems, when they're staring us in the effing face. That's on us, not the person who's suffering. Former state attorney Dave Ehrenberg put the defense's central problem in plain terms. The more they prove Steins was mentally ill, the harder it becomes to get him out on bail. If he's insane enough for an insanity defense, he's also too dangerous to release into the community. I agree. He should be in a mental health hospital. The one side works directly against the other, but being out on bail isn't the question. It's did he do this on purpose? Was he consciously trying to kill his friend, or was this some sort of a psychotic break? At the June 5th hearing, the defense asked for $50,000 bond. Judge Carone said he would not entertain that number. If he sets bond at all, he said it would be much more significant. Sherry Steins told the court she'd take Mickey in, but the prosecution's counter is obvious. Sherry sleeps on oxygen. She's 62 years old. She couldn't physically stop him from walking out the door if he spiraled again. It's a bad idea overall. There should be no dollar level that someone who has this propensity for a mental break to be out on bond, no matter what dollar level. It's rather insane to me, Judge. You're like, it would be a lot more than that. How about just no? How about there's no dollar amount on me releasing someone that could potentially snap and do other crazy shit? Well, we have the potential to make this amount on it. Nah, then it's worth it, right? Like, that's the stupidest fucking thing I've heard out of all this. It'd be a lot more money. And maybe, again, maybe that's just a reflection of the atmosphere in which this shit is going down and why the man who was having a psychotic break couldn't get any help to begin with. Because you're looking at the dollar amount. Be more than that if you want to be free. What? How about just no? No bond. Not safe. There ain't. You can give me $1 billion tomorrow, and we're not doing this because the potential for what he could do. And maybe that was just the colloquial, well, you know, maybe a lot more than that. Not thinking truly what that means. He's a man who knows guns, knows every road in the county, and knows his way around law enforcement. But I guess if you give the judge a lot more money, it might be considered. The defense has its own answer. Jeremy Bartley told the court there were three ways to read this case. One, it was entirely in Stein's mind. There was no real external threats. Two, the threats were real and objective. Three, and this is where Bartley says the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. There were real reasons for Steins to be afraid. And if we go back deeply into this case of what's going on in that courthouse with the people that these people are all connected to, there is an entire separate case over there. There's a reason he's having this mental break. But his deteriorating mental state turned a manageable level of fear into something unsurvivable. Bartley actually referenced the movie Conspiracy Theory, the Mel Gibson film, where the paranoid guy turns out to be right about at least some of it. You can be paranoid, Bartley argued, and someone can also actually be following you. The defense's position is that Steins believed his wife and daughter had been taken, and that belief, regardless of whether it was grounded in reality, is what drove everything that happened in those chambers. So where does all of this stand? The judge's three major rulings under advisement after the June 5th hearing. First, bail. Second, change of venue. The prosecution wants the trial moved out of Eastern Kentucky entirely. And Judge Crone told the parties he cannot fathom the thought of reasonably being able to obtain a jury in Lecter County. He said he'd be hard-pressed not to grant the venue change. Well, good, because you're already seemingly not to be the greatest of decision makers. A local attorney testified at the hearing that the community has taken sides, and an impartial jury would be nearly impossible to seat. Third, the prosecution wants a second mental health evaluation, their own expert, to examine Steins and rebut the insanity defense. The defense opposes it, arguing Steins has already completed one evaluation and shouldn't be forced to waive his rights again. Plus, let's understand how this works for a moment. He may have been in an insane state, to put it bluntly, at that moment in time, and may not be today. So an evaluation today is not a reflection of his state yesterday. It's like saying, hey, let me go check the temperature of that chicken tomorrow. What? Why would you? I'm cooking it right now. We need to make sure it's up to temp 165, right? Yeah, I'll check it tomorrow. But we're going to eat it now. There's no point to checking it later. It doesn't apply to the process of which it's experiencing that. Hey, if it works for your side, right, run with it. And if people are too stupid to realize, that's a boon to you. The defense also spent months trying to remove Crone from the case entirely. They cited a video from September 12th of 2024, 1 week before the shooting, that showed Crone and Mullen seated near each other at a Kentucky Judicial Commission on Mental Health. The irony. The defense argued that that relationship created an appearance of bias. The motion went to the Kentucky Supreme Court. It came back denied. Crone stays, and the fight is over, unless Crone says, we're moving this somewhere else. The death penalty question is still open. The defense filed a motion in February to exclude execution as a sentencing option, arguing Steins qualifies as seriously mentally ill under Kentucky law. That hearing hasn't been held yet. Kentucky statute requires the determination at least 90 days before trial. No trial date has been set. The expectation is late 2026 or early 2027, and prosecutors still have not publicly identified a motive. Everyone agreed something was catastrophically wrong with Mickey Steins. His staff agreed, his friends agreed, his aunt agreed, his doctor saw a version of it. Attorneys who sat across from him during that four-hour deposition agreed. The most any of them did, I mean, other than taking him to the doctor, which is really the most anyone can do, but the person who had the most modality to do something had it in Benadryl and hope. Siri Steins had 30 minutes between that FaceTime call when Bubby asked for a woman who'd been dead for 2.5 years. And when she found out what happened in the courthouse, she didn't call anyone, not because she didn't care, because it already happened before she understood what was coming. The shooting is on surveillance video. The defense admits the body is his. The trial will be about his mind. But the question no verdict can answer is the one that keeps both families awake. What if someone had picked up the phone and the person on the other end was able to take the situation for the weight of what it was? What if the medical professionals were able to identify the mental health crisis that was clearly happening in front of them? It's another example of why, if there's something truly wrong, you need to advocate for yourself or for others. Because the system that we rely on to be the one that goes, oh, great, you brought this to us. Yes, of course, we'll take it from here. We gotcha. Doesn't do that anymore. It doesn't. You have to be your best advocate. And your best advocate for those around you as best you can. I'm not saying they didn't do everything that they could. I do not blame a single person. I think the lawsuit is bullshit. The civil lawsuit is bullshit. These people did try. The resources that should have been there, the intelligence, the education that these people should have had at a minimum level to deal with this in a better way was not present. And that in itself, I feel like, is a crime. Not that anyone needs to go away for him. Not blaming the doctor. The doctor didn't do anything criminal. But if that is your best decision based on the information, although we haven't seen, I'd be curious to have been sitting in that room to see what was presented. But I don't know, you got a whole staff showing up for the sheriff and your solution is Benadryl and melatonin. I don't know. Feels like something's a bit off, in my opinion. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We'll keep you up to date on this case. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of those updates. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges, ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same, which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe, made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same, which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe, made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. all the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
This is Danielle Fischel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.